the premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Pitch. Suzuki grounds one up the middle, through for a base hit. Tucker being waved around. He's coming home. The throw, nowhere near in time. RBI single, Seiya Suzuki, and the Cubs take the lead. Crowd on its feet. Keller deals. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Cubs win. They beat the Pirates 3-1 to even the series at a game apiece.
That's how you do it.
Into right, and this will get down. Colson will score. Roberts hustling around third base. He'll come in, and Andrew Benintendi gets the White Sox on the board. A two RBI double. Called strike three at the top of the zone. And the White Sox fall to Kansas City 6-2.
The Royals got on top early again. That's been their game plan and made it work. So 13 straight, and they keep rolling right along. Better luck tomorrow, day game. Get your rest, quick turnaround, and I'll talk to you then.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Sing it. Ba-da-ba-ba. Ba, ba, da, ba, ba. Sing it with me. Here comes the low brass. Ba, da, ba, ba. You know, there's just a few more of these left. You know what I got to do one of these Sunday mornings? Is bring in the trumpet. The trumpet I got with my bar mitzvah money, folks. It's still on top of one of the bookcases in my house. I still use it every once in a while. I remember fondly going into the big city and going to the place that had all the trumpets and choosing a great one. And it's still there and it's still pretty functional. I'll bring it in and I'll play along with the brass. Let's do that live before we get out of here and make way for Bears pregame on a Sunday morning. The Bears play tonight, but you know what we do here. We rage against the dying of the light that is the baseball season. I will not go gentle into that good night. No, I will not, because baseball continues unabated. And in fact, it can be pretty damn good and pretty damn compelling around the league right about now in, yes, the dog days of August. It is hot. It is hot. And it's been hot at the ballpark of late. I've been to both ballparks over the last 2 days. I was at the Savannah Bananas on Friday night and cannot wait to discuss that with you. And I was at Wrigley yesterday doing pregame and postgame in the fifth inning of play-by-play, a part of the offense yesterday for the 3-1 Cubs win. Both teams play later on today. You've got the Cubs and the Pirates with Javier Assad against Carmen Mazinski. That one coming up at 1:20. That means we will be here up until 12:45 until Cubs pregame takes place. And meanwhile, the White Sox will try not to get swept in Kansas City. Davis Martin going against Ryan Burgert for the Kansas City Royals. If that's Berger, then I'd like to apologize to all of you hardcore Royals fans in the audience. I'm not just going to assume it's Burgert. I went with that, but then it felt ridiculous coming out of my mouth. So, Sean Sears, you can look that up. Would you look up the pronunciation of...
No, I think you just keep guessing. Do you...
I mean, look, this is the important stuff. Along the way, we're going to take your phone calls, we're going to take your texts, and we're going to do team of the moment. Oh my God, who could it be? Oh my God, who is the team that everyone around baseball is talking about? I don't know. Who could it possibly be? Folks, it was almost the Mariners. But then they lost last night, and they're 7-3 in their last 10. They're still a very good story. 12 games over 500, just a game and a half back on the Astros. It could be the Braves. They've won 4 in a row. Nobody's talking about the Braves. Nobody. Except Michael Harris, who I think has 19 extra base hits since the All-Star break, or like 19 of his last 28 hits are extra base hits, something like that. That kid is on a crazy, absurd heater. So it could be those teams. It could be the Padres, who are making a charge on the Dodgers but have just lost 2 in a row to find themselves back now a game behind the Dodgers as those two teams are battling it out west in a serious battle of heavyweights. Nah, I think we all know who it is. I think everybody is. Is it the Tigers who've won 4 in a row and are now 7-3 in their last 10. Seemingly have righted the ship. They are 21 games over 500. No, it is not. Burgert, it is Burgert. Nailed that. See?
He nailed it.
Look at all this broadcast time I've wasted on trying to be polite to the Royals fans and the family of someone who I thought might have been named Ryan Berger. You know? It's the curse of Stephen Colbert, that kind of thing.
That's so true.
It's
right?
Just Burgert. That's all it is. Just give the guy a Burgert. Anyway, Ryan Dempster is going to join us in about an hour. He's been at Wrigley doing the games this weekend, and I'm going to be on a gig with Ryan on Thursday night at the Metro. Cannot wait for the gig on Thursday. I'm the band leader, folks. I've put together the band. It's not Tributosaurus, but it's kind of a spinoff of sorts that I've done a few times called the Lindbergers, in honor of my late friend Lynn Bramer, your best friend in the whole world. That's the concert Thursday night to benefit the Lynn Bramer Scholars at the Metro over there on Clark Street. Please come. It's going to be great fun. Band is killer, and a bunch of really good guest stars there kind of doing their things. XRT DJs. Very much a part of the action. In fact, Marty Leonard's is going to sing something with me. Marty Leonard's, the XRT Morning Man, is going to sing something with the Lindbergers on Thursday.
Wow, do you know what it is yet, or are you going to be surprised yourself?
I know, of course I know. Putting it together, man. Bit by bit, putting it together. Absolutely. Set list, there's a, you know, visual accompaniment. This is an enormous undertaking.
That's going to be so cool, man.
That I have plenty of time for, as I do six radio shows a week. And the PBP and whatever else. And oh, by the way, tomorrow is the first day of school for you CPS parents out there. And also, I'm doing the national anthem tomorrow at Wrigley Field.
Buried the lead.
This is I'm having an insane moment in my baseball life. Let's be honest. I'm an incredibly lucky man. Doing the anthem tomorrow, doing a gig on Thursday, did an inning yesterday, but now I get to talk to you. So anyway, Ryan Dempster at 10 o'clock. At, I think, 10:40, we will talk to the Marlins broadcaster who's at Fenway doing games, Jack McMullen, about doing games from Fenway Park. And yes, Jack is my nephew. And we'll also talk about which teams he has seen around baseball that are simply a cut above the rest. At 11 o'clock, Dan Durbin is the fan co-host for the hour. He pledged $1,000 on the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon to be my co-host. He gets to do today. In a couple of weeks, my buddy Milt is coming by, and he's going to do an hour. And there's a third winner who might have to wait until next year. But anyway, Dan Durbin will be here. And during that hour, we will do Team of the Moment. Oh, no, who could it be? Also, I think during that hour, Andrew McCutchen of the Pirates. I had a chance to talk to him yesterday in the Pirates clubhouse. I love that dude. Along the way, you will also hear from Joe Madden, who was on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday. Maybe Matt Shaw, who was on Inside the Clubhouse. And we will prep you for the ball games. The phone number is 312-644-6767. Today, the Cubs host the Pirates at Wrigley Field. Pregame coverage begins at 12:45 with first pitch at 1:20 on the Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. That same number I gave you is also how you text, 312-644-6767. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Okay, look, the White Sox are 2-8 in their last 10. They've lost three in a row. They're 35 games under 500. They're 28 games behind the Tigers, 22 games behind the lowest wild card. All of that is a bummer. I think I saw the stat this morning. They need to go 37-2 in their final games to save themselves another losing season. That's not going to happen. But you and I know that that organization has turned a corner. And it manifested a little bit at the big league level and has had its moments. But we don't really need to argue the overall big bus turning the corner thing. And now we'll see, you know, which kids are worthy and which kids are not. I'm so glad that many of them are here. Watching Colson Montgomery is really interesting. He had a hustle double yesterday on a gapper to right center. And then a terrible slide, like a head first slide. I think he broke his belt on the slide. It was sort of a belly flop. But, man, watching that dude swing and connect with power is very, very special. There's obviously a lot of meat on that bone, and that's exciting. Chase Meidroth is back off the injured list. as is Miguel Vargas. There are plenty of people to watch on that team. But I feel like we've also discussed a lot of the big picture issues at many times. So I don't know how much we'll get to all that stuff today. And following them on the day-to-day is their 35 games under 500. I watch the games. I watch the condensed highlights. I do all the reading and get up on it. We can certainly discuss. But there are other things to discuss, like the Savannah Bananas that I saw at that ballpark on Friday night. We'll talk about that in the next segment. The Cubs, meanwhile, are in a fascinating spot because the Cubs are firmly in the National League wild card race. They are a half game up on the Padres for the top wild card, which means that they would host a three-game series against the Padres is what they would host right now. Right, Sean? You can look at that. Yeah, they'd host
host the Padres
for three. If they slip behind the Padres, maybe they would go to the Padres for three. Or maybe that'll end up being the Dodgers, and that wouldn't be any fun at all. If they fall all the way down, 4.5 games back from where they are to where the Mets are as the final wild card, then they would go to the worst or go to the best division winner, which could be the Milwaukee Brewers. So maybe you go to Milwaukee for a three-game series in which you have to win two. That doesn't sound fun, but it's a three-game series, and Lord knows anything can happen. The Mets, by the way, just a game and a half up on the Reds, who are four games over 500 and are battling. But here's the thing, and I'm just speaking for me, okay? Over the last few weeks since the trade deadline, my disappointment in what the Cubs did was vast. My annoyance in what Jed Hoyer seemed to settle on was pervasive. My rage at the shift from a go-for-it year in a lame duck season for the GM to a fully extended, kind of cautious deadline where they didn't give up some prospects. And where Carter Hawkins, in a conversation with Jesse Rogers, referenced caring about the 2032 Cubs, okay? My rage has sometimes been white hot over the past couple of weeks. My rage, my annoyance, my disappointment has largely dissipated. I'm speaking only for me, okay? I see now what is true, which is that the playoffs are well within reach. That if they play well and they right the ship with as many things, as many components of this team as possible, and they do focus on the process, and they get themselves feeling good, and then get in, then anything can happen. Even as I say that, the rage comes back a little bit because I feel like they chose that. Like they chose the variance and randomness of, let's just get in and see what happens, as opposed to trying to really perfect the roster and fine-tune everything and go for the freaking kill, okay? So look, my rage is going to come back. I'm going to think of something like I just did. Or you're going to mention something. You're going to say, why is Matt Shaw still hitting in the nine hole when only Shohei Ohtani has a better OPS in the National League since the All-Star break? And I'm going to get angry again. I am. Or I might get annoyed. I might get annoyed when you say something like, why did they call up Owen Casey, who was destroying AAA pitching? And I know AAA pitching is not big league pitching, but then they brought him up and he played in his first game, but now back at Wrigley against two righties. He can't play against either of those. He can't. When is Owen Casey going to get in the game? Why aren't you trying to catch some lightning in a bottle?
This has been a dead ass team.
Hey, hold on. That's Brenly from a long time ago. And I don't know that they're a dead-ass team anymore. There was a week there where it really looked dead-ass. You think it still looks dead-ass? It doesn't really look that way to me. Now, maybe I was looking through my play-by-play colored glasses yesterday, Sean, okay? But I was hanging around the clubhouse, and then I'm up there to watch. Because you know what happens? What happens is that I watch some of those dudes go about their business. PCA on Friday before the unfortunate overslide looked like PCA. Three hits, including an opposite field hit in the ninth inning to get on. And I'm like, man, there he is. There he is. There's that kid. Bring him back. Kyle Tucker yesterday squeezes one of those seeing eye ground ball singles that he had through the right side. Raises right arms, both of them, two arms, I should say. He only has one right arm. Raised both of them at first base, kind of making fun of himself and the joy of getting a hit, you know? And you smile. And then what happens for me sometimes is that I'll watch my favorite ball player on this team. I will watch my favorite ball player on this team, and I'll be reminded of what is so wonderful about the game and those that play it well. Folks, just watch Nico Hoerner play baseball. I love that dude's game. And maybe as I get older, I have more of an appreciation for people who seek line drives, people who seek contact, because it's like, do the very most you can every single time you're out there to get on base. Scratch, fight, and claw your freaking way on base every single time you're up. I think Nico Hoerner should be hitting leadoff every single damn day for this team. I love the way that dude plays. But when he had the two-out RBI double, a bullet through the infield that went all the way to the gap yesterday, and with two outs and a man in scoring position, oh no, really? Nico delivered? Yeah, he did, because that's what he does. You see dudes like that. You watch Shota Imanaga, who now in 24 starts at Wrigley Field has an ERA, I think it's like 2.83 in his career at Wrigley. This is a fly ball pitcher coming from Japan. You remember this? Like, oh, he's going to give up a lot of home runs. No, he's a freaking marvel. Shota is a marvel. And frankly, I watched Brad Keller step up and strike out the side yesterday. And I admire the hell out of that dude. That is a guy who went to camp hoping to be starting pitching depth. And that opportunity didn't present itself. But he found himself throwing harder in short stints. And they said, how about the bullpen? And he said, let's go. And he's been great. You got Craig Counsell talking about Brad Keller's role during the course of the year. Because yesterday when Brad Keller came in and struck out the side after Daniel Palencia only threw 13 pitches on Friday, I'm like, And now Palencia's not here for the save. It's Keller. That's interesting. And I thought to myself, is the Brad Keller closer era beginning? Because I called for it a couple months ago. Maybe some of you remember. I saw that dude. I'm like, whoo, boy, look at that. Now that is a closer in waiting. And he's grumpy. He's grumpy, too, sometimes. I like that. I like that in closers. So is the Brad Keller closer era upon us? Maybe not. But listen to Craig Counsell speak glowingly about that dude and what he's done all season long.
I think that's sometimes the job of a reliever. If you're not the closer, maybe. It doesn't have a lot of fanfare on it, but Brad's had an excellent season, a really valuable season for us. And, you know, if there is such thing as an unsung hero for this team so far, I would definitely say I would nominate Brad for that, because he's been a big part of it. And this is a different role for him kind of starting in the season, and he's responded really well to every challenge put in front of him.
So that's counsel on Brad Keller. By the way, the third wild card plays the third division winner while the top two get byes. So it's probably the Phillies or the Dodgers that would face that bottom wild card, to be clear, while the top two get byes.
That's right. So it wouldn't be the Brewers.
No,
right.
It would not be the Brewers. But anyway, look, so my rage and my annoyance and my disappointment has largely dissipated, but it's still obviously there. And it's going to rear its head. And I'll let it fly when it does. But here's the thing. I don't like living in rage and resentment and anger and bitterness. It's a crap-ass way to live. It just is. So if you hear me turning to what actually is the moment at hand and what is the opportunity at hand, it's because sometimes life can suck, and the powers that be can do things that you wish they didn't do with your life, with your family, with your favorite baseball team. It can happen. And then you've got to segue and move on with every single freaking day. So I'm not accepting what was done. I'm not drinking any freaking Kool-Aid. What I am doing is living my life in a way that feels good and reasonable. Make the wild card. Look, and sometimes when you let go of that anger, then things start to come off better and you start to play better. and you start things start to go your way when you relax a little bit and you let go of the resentment. Trust me, I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in a lot of damn people. Maybe they sweep five when they stop thinking that they have to sweep five. You know what I mean? Because right now, that division seems completely ungettable because the Brewers are 34 games over 500. They've won 14 in a row. And oh, by the way, spoiler alert, they're the team of the moment. So let's discuss all these things at 312-644-6767. Your phone numbers, that's the one to call, and that's the one to text as well. That's where I am. You be wherever you want. You still got the rage. You still got the annoyance. You still got the disappointment. Let it fly. Just for me, I've largely segued to the tasks at hand. Want to talk bananas with you this hour as well. Keep it right here. You're locked on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Now coming to bat, a two-time All-Star and World Series champion with your Chicago White Sox. Please welcome A.J. Pierzynski.
Over 40,000 fans here in Wright Field. What a cool moment for A.J. Pierzynski. Such a big part of that 2005 World Series champion club. And a slow tapper to the right side. A glove flip from Spence over to Green. Cullen behind the back at first. And another standing ovation for A.J. Pierzynski.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
All right, so look, let's discuss. Here on the Sunday morning Church of Baseball, as the texter just called it. I kind of love that, I'll be honest. But even as a Jew, I'm good with it being the Church of Baseball. But Friday night, I was able to get to the Savannah Bananas. Shout out to my son Ruben's uncle, Uncle Danny Parkins, for having a buddy who came up with four tickets late, offered them to Danny. Danny knew I was looking and offered them to me. So it was me and my son and my brother-in-law and my nephew. And the four of us had an absolute blast. And I had never watched any of the Bananas games in full. I've seen highlights, of course, read articles and all of that. But being there for that thing was kind of mind-blowing. As a lifelong baseball fan, as the son of a businessman who used to teach small business development, as my dad did at the local community college, he's been fascinated with the business models of successful endeavors. And frankly, as a band leader with Tributosaurus, who's built a little something, but just a little something, I couldn't stop thinking about the business model of this thing. It is an unbelievable endeavor. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But as a fan experience, holy crap. Incredible. They have reinvented the damn thing, folks. It's like watching the Harlem Globetrotters play basketball if you'd never heard of the Globetrotters before and you just thought basketball was a normal game. This baseball, I mean, every walk-up song plays through the entire at-bat. The pitchers work fast. All the players are incredibly athletic and able to do trick plays. You got outfielders doing backflips as they catch fly balls. You have infielders dribbling a baseball between their legs before they complete their throw to first. You got a guy on stilts who's pitching. I mean, and maybe you've seen some of the gimmicks, but overall, I felt like I was watching Cirque du Soleil, like a uniquely brilliant business idea that was small and just grew and grew and grew and grew. And Jesse Cole walking around in the yellow tails with the yellow top hat is like the P.T. Barnum of a baseball circus that is enormous and fascinating. I mean, there's 20 some players on each team and they bring the other team, the firefighters. Then there's all the coaches and all the support staff for the teams. You got a ball boy who's running across to get any foul balls behind the plate. And every time he grabs the ball, he's doing like dance moves as he runs across. Just hilarious. But anyway, you got all of that. And then after the game in a parking lot, there was a post-game party with a 10-piece brass band that had been walking around the stadium the whole time. So on a stage in one of the parking lots is a band, and there are merch tents in every parking lot that are absolutely packed to the gills as they move crazy amounts of merch. All of this, I kept thinking, what's the traveling party with this thing? 500 people? 700 people? 400? I don't know. But I couldn't stop thinking about the business model and the promotional model of the thing. So just a fascinating experience on a million different levels. I wanted to talk to my dad. I talked to my big brother who started a business in New York, and that I'll have to do. It is brilliant and massive. The constant offerings to your attention span are overwhelming. Between innings contests. Yes, like an NBA game. There was a baby race on the field, but it was freaking hilarious and the way they did that. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Chicago Bears. And it was four little kids in bear costumes who had to sprint from center field to home plate. And that contest was hilarious. At one point between innings, Chance the Rapper came out. Chance the freaking Rapper. And it was him. And he had an entire act and dance routine worked out with both teams. Somehow they got that done. And he danced and did a song all the way towards home plate. And then he was done. See you later, Chance. That was a great 5 minutes of my evening. And then, yes, like you heard right there, AJ Pierzynski comes out in full banana uniform. And it was amazing to see him taking that bat. And the next inning, AJ plays catcher. And you're like, look at that. That's cool. They got AJ playing catcher. And then as AJ's playing catcher, Mark Burley came out to pitch. And folks, legit baseball emotions to see number 56, Mark Burley, pitching to AJ Pierzynski at Sox Park. I'm getting chills just thinking about it. There were Sox fans all around who were like, oh my God, I'm texting Chris Tannehill. Dude, Burley's pitching to AJ right now at your ballpark. He's like, oh my God. You know? Apparently last night, Konerko and Ozzie Guillen were there. So, holy hell, what an experience. They have reinvented the damn thing. And it's fascinating. It's a little dangerous. I feel like it's a little dangerous for our beloved baseball folks because this is a different kind of thing. Like regular baseball seems a little bit boring after that. It's not baseball. There's some baseball to it, though. A guy got hit in the face during the game. A batter got hit in the face by a pitch. And everybody thought it was part of the act for a while. It's like, is this part of the act? Oh, wait, no, he's down. Oh, wait, he got up. He's got a towel on his face. I'm pretty sure he's bleeding. Yeah, I don't think that's part of the act. Okay. All right, now he's gone. I guess we'll continue the ball game. And they did. But my goodness, what a fascinating thing to watch. And I look, they were there last night. They are gone. I recommend not writing it off as some goofy, ridiculous thing that doesn't deserve your attention. It is a freaking phenomenon for a reason. And folks, there is a lot that Major League Baseball can and should learn from the Savannah Bananas. And there's a lot, and we'll discuss that in the coming days. I think on Spiegel and Holmes, it was a very fascinating experience. I needed to report all of this to you. I had never seen a game. I'd never seen the full thing. Seeing the full thing, and look, it's a 2-hour clock that winds down. They finish the game with like 6 minutes left on the clock. There are runs, yes, but they're not how they decide. It's a points-based system. There are trick plays that get made, and you get points for that. Like it is. They've reinvented the damn thing, and good for them. And Jesse Cole, inspired by Bill Veeck. It is Veeck, right? Just want to make sure I get the pronunciation.
I'll look
right.
It up. Hold on. Thank you. I forgot from last week.
I've got the book somewhere. Always thought the book was Veeck as Enrique, but that's just me, you know? But anyway, yeah, no, Jesse Cole, inspired by Bill Veeck, and Mike Veeck, I know, has been in touch with Jesse Cole, and there's a mutual respect between the Veeck family and the Bananas, and I love that. But this was a staggeringly fascinating thing. We'll take your phone calls the rest of this hour on the Cubs after my conversation in segment one, and certainly on the Bananas. If you were there, I'd love to hear what you think. At 312-644-6767. Ryan Dempster at the top of the hour. Let's go to Tom in Elmhurst. He will start off the caller section of Hit and Run right now on the Score. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Spiegs, long-time listener of you. Way back, your knowledge is phenomenal. I had an issue with you last week when you're kind of panicking about this Cubs. And, you know, July 4th, they were the Milwaukee Brewers of baseball. And you know what happened that day? Kyle Tucker slid into second base and hasn't been the same since, which means Seiya Suzuki hasn't been the same since, and PCA hasn't been the same since. I think it's a blessing that they don't host in Chicago in October, because that's not a ballpark that's going to be conducive for bombs. You know what I'm saying? So they didn't need to get a starting pitcher. They have the best starting pitching in baseball since the All-Star break. Horton's a gem. Boyd's been an unbelievable find. You can't get rid of a $20 million Tyone salary. You knew he was coming back. It's not arm problem. It's a leg issue. And, you know, I think this is a sign to say that they're going to do everything in their power to sign Tucker, because they know when Tucker was going well, they were 20 games over 500 and 6 games ahead of the Brewers. So I got to think the kid's not healthy, and I think they'll be fine. Are they a World Series? I mean, I wouldn't worry about them playing the Dodgers.
Okay, Tom, you are in full optimist mode. Thanks for the call, dude. Appreciate where you are. Look, I was angry, agitated, annoyed, disappointed last week. I don't think that's panic. I think that's just where I was. And I still get there sometimes. But if anybody heard my segment one, they hear that I've gotten to some calm acceptance of the possibilities that are still in front of you, as the Brewers are just at a ridiculous place. I will say what's right about what you said. In the last 27 games going into yesterday, the Cubs starting pitchers had a 2.88 ERA. Best in the game. They allowed fewer than one base runner per inning pitch. That was going into yesterday. And then Shota was great yesterday. So, yeah, here we all are calling for more starting pitching and wanting more starting pitching. But there's two reasons for that. One is, in the postseason, you'd like to have a power righty, a right-handed bat misser that you could put in there. Maybe Cade Horton's going to be that guy, but there's innings fears about him. Cade Horton's been great, by the way, absolutely great. But that's part of it. But the big thing for me at the deadline was, show your team you believe in them. And if it wasn't starting pitching, then go get a closer. Go get Joan Duran. Okay? Go get Mason Miller. Those were the two biggest names to go. And they went to teams with aggressive GMs in Dave Dombrowski and A.J. Preller. I would have been great with that. Then everybody slots down. Then all of a sudden you got Keller and Palencia and closer X, either Duran or Miller, somebody like that. And maybe they would have closed a deal for Emmanuel Clase. I don't know. But it doesn't just have to have been starting pitcher. Badass finishing reliever would have been fine, too. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Let's continue rolling on with you here on Hit and Run on the Score. It's me, Speaks.
Drive, base hit out into left center field. Hetz on the move, racing for third. Nico to second, and he's in. And the Cubs add on. And the intentional walk doesn't work.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on the Score.
That's the great Boog Shambi. I think Boog is awesome at his job, and I love the man personally, I must admit. So that's Boog calling that. Nico, they walked Ian Happ to pitch to Nico. Amazing. Keep looking at your charts. 670, the Score is where you are. It's Matt Spiegler with you on Hit and Run. Owen in Willowbrook is on the Score. Ryan Dempster at the top of the hour, but we talked bananas and we've talked a lot of Cubs in this first hour. What's up, Owen?
Hey, Spiegs. Hey, just a couple points. As far as the bananas, I think they were obviously inspired by the Harlem Globetrotters, but I think another guy that you could probably look at is Max Paquin. Max Paquin went through the minor leagues, and he entertained. So I think they scaled up on something, that idea, and I think you're right. It's really catching on.
Yeah, hang on. So Max Patkin, the Clown Prince of Baseball, who you can see in Bull Durham, if you've never seen the act, he does the act as an older man in Bull Durham. And yeah, minor league baseball is steeped with all things, and the Bananas were a minor league team, but it has now exploded into this. Here's what I didn't even realize when I talked about the business model. They have two traveling teams with two traveling opponents. These were the Firefighters in Chicago. The Party Animals were playing against the Bananas in Arkansas. Same weekend, same endeavor. Holy hell. So when I talk about, what, a traveling party of 500, multiply that by two. Just absolutely insane. Go ahead, Owen. Keep going.
And as far as the White Sox fan, it was kind of interesting with Berrelli and Prusinski. But the other point I wanted to make is I'm following up on the interview from Madden yesterday. And, you know, I will tell you, I'm a Sox fan. I used to be a former Sox fan. And I wasn't always a Madden fan. But I will tell you what I really liked the comment he said was there's too much I don't know if I'm paraphrasing, but he said there's too much managing from a laptop. And I agree with that because – I really think, and if you look at the 2005 White Sox team, they led in their first 41 games by creating runs early. And when you create a run early, and these managers always play for the big inning nowadays. And I think if you get an early lead, it releases the pressure on the lineup. And I think the Cubs have to start doing that. They missed an opportunity to do that yesterday. And if they move the runners over, a fly ball gets them in, even though they won. I think they got to start playing small ball early, get the lead, and release the pressure from the lineup.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Owen. In terms of first inning runs on the regular season, the Cubs are 11th with 69 of them. The A's are first, for whatever that's worth. Then the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Yankees. So three successful teams there. But then the Nationals as well. That's just in first inning runs. But yeah, you know, we're going to play that Joe Madden chunk a little bit later on in the show, probably in the noon hour before the Cubs begin. This is Rick on the north side of Chicago, wants to talk a little Cubs and Brewers who start tomorrow with a five-game set here in Chicago. What's up, Rick?
Hey, Speed, I think you're the best guy on the radio talking baseball.
Thanks, buddy.
You have been for years.
Appreciate Great. That.
I listen to you all the time. I listen to you in the afternoon. I listen to you now. I've got sort of a out-of-the-wall question for you, okay?
Okay.
Is it possible, I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but is it possible that Milwaukee Brewers of this year are the Houston Astros of, you know what I'm talking about, right?
It sounds like you are accusing them of something. I got to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, I just don't remember a team going on a streak like this.
Yeah, they're ridiculous. They're a ridiculous ball club. Are they stealing signs everywhere? Because they had an 11-game win streak last month, and they got a 14-game win streak this month. That's more than just home.
I think Rick's on to something. Honestly, these guys are ruining my life. We should look into them.
I understand the feeling. Here's the sad truth about the Brewers, but it comes with a caveat, okay? They've made the playoffs 6 of the last 7 years. They won 93 games last year. This isn't coming out of nowhere, you know? David Stearns built a juggernaut. He's gone. Matt Arnold's doing a really good job. Craig Counsell, terrific manager and partner for the front office. He's gone. Pat Murphy's doing a great job. They've got a really good organization. They find talented players who are undervalued, oftentimes in big money behemoth organizations that don't see what they see. And they grab those guys and get the most out of them. They're really good at what they do. Here's the caveat, though. They lose a lot in the postseason. They really do. They'll make those playoffs, man. Woo! They'll take their fans on an exciting run. And then they lose quickly. So, maybe you can count on that again. This is Ben in Queens on the score. Good morning, Ben. You're on Hit and Run. What's up?
Good morning, Matt. I'm going to piggyback right on what you said about the Milwaukee's history in the playoffs. But let me start off with this. July 27th, 3 weeks ago, you were doing the pre and post. Saranji was on the show. I called up and I talked about a distressing trend that I saw in series openers. They had gone 1-4 in the past five series openers with a minus 30 run differential. Of course, Ranji said this is just a short-term trend. We can't really take anything out of it. Spiegs, since then, they've gone 1-5 in series openers with a minus 14 run differential. The only series opener they won was against the Baltimore Orioles. You remember Kevin Brown saying a third of that team had been traded in the preceding day.
Yeah.
Now, I'm saying this. Why? Okay, so 2-9 with a minus 44 run differential since July 18th. Mañana, tomorrow, and listen, this is the crazy stat. If they win today, they'll be 16-17 as a record, which is a minor miracle that they have that good of a record with not being able to win the first game in a series.
Wow.
But as we know, in the playoffs, it's a 36% chance that if a team loses in the game one, that they'll actually end up winning the series.
Ben, slow down. Mañana. Slow down. Give me this again. So in game one of a series, add the two numbers together. So what do you got in game one of a series if you add those two numbers you have together?
So the Cubs, since July 8th, are 2-9 with a minus 44 run differential. The only good series opener they had was against Boston after the All-Star break.
All right. And if they win today, they're 16-17 in that stretch,
yes,
even while losing the first game of every one of those series. Amazing.
A minor miracle.
Seriously.
A minor miracle. But I'm saying in the playoffs, and this is the thing about the playoffs, you want to have home advantage. Whether it's the Dodgers or the Padres, that's what it's looking right now. The Cubs have home field advantage. If they win that series, guess what? You get the Brewers. And I think it's better to have the Brewers with less travel in a place where you can pack the house with your fans 90 feet away and with a team that historically is bad in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. Tomorrow, start again. Start again. And when you go out on the West Coast, you got to take the Angels seriously. You got to take the San Francisco. I love you, Speaks. I got to go. You're great.
Thanks, Ben. Sorry to bother you. He's got to go. Ben's got to go.
Stop keeping Ben.
I'm sorry,
He's
Ben.
He's a busy man.
I didn't mean to keep you. Sorry about that, my dude. That's some great numbers, though. 2-9 with a minus 44 in series openers since July 8th. And if they win today, they're 16-17 in that stretch, which is actually amazing that they get to be that good. Tomorrow, a series opener against the Milwaukee Brewers, the afternoon game of a day-night doubleheader. It's a split doubleheader. Both games will be here on the Score. Between those games, the Spiegel and Holmes show will be on the Score. And if only there was something happening before that first game to try and change the mojo, try and rejigger the vibes around the ballpark and the team. I don't know. Do you have any ideas, Sean, what we could do, what we could try and arrange to happen?
I don't know. I mean, like, if someone wanted to, like, come beforehand and really, like, pump up the crowd, I don't know.
Oh, man.
Do you know anyone like that? Maybe they play trombone, trumpet. What's the instrument?
I don't know. You know, I'm not there to pump up the crowd. You know,
okay,
I'm not there
okay.
to. I'm there to pay homage to the country,
yeah,
and to the national pastime,
obviously,
and to all who have come before, as me and my boy Kurt Morrison from Tributosaurus perform the national anthem tomorrow at 1:10 before the first pitch.
I mean, I'm gonna be fired up,
dude. I'm fired up. Let's go. Let's go. I think we're gonna carry it here on the Cubs Radio Network and on the Score. So if you're listening to the Score at 1:10. You should hear your boys sing the national anthem.
You can catch on the Rewind, too, on the Odyssey app as well,
What a crazy, crazy thing. It is Spiegs. It is Hit and Run right here on the Score. We'll talk to Ryan Dempster next. Keep it right here.